saw this.
I did not see this chapter.
Okay, so chapter 9. Okay. So, so basically, we said in the last chapter that the viceroy asks the princess, "How do I get you out of here?" Right? I can't do a frontal attack and grab you and get you, pull you out of the where you are, because right now you're. You know, excitement that's supposed to be fueling your Avodas Hashem is fueling this whole palace of evil. You're the center point of this whole evil, of the wrong side. So I can't just pull you out. So what do I do? What's, how do I extract you from here? So she told him in last chapter that he has to take a year, which they say doesn't necessarily mean a year. Could mean there's an indication of a full year, a full cycle of maybe the holidays. We said one idea. Said also the idea of having, you know, a set time where you make a decision. Was it right? It's not necessarily, you know, a year, but you have to have a place and a time. There are important things that you have to be set up with a good foundation, and you should stay there for Shana Achas. And then she tells him what to do for that year, right? So that was last week. We talked about setting the foundation, which is really being honest with oneself. What Rabbi Nachman is telling us, what the avoda is to be honest with ourselves and to decide to choose. There she says, "Bocher l'cha makom." You should choose a place, meaning believe in your power of being able to choose. Because when you're able to believe in the power to choose, that's one of the steps really in tshuva. One of the steps of vidoy is saying, "I did all these things. Not that they happened to me. Not that they're a circumstance of my life." Or that I, you know, ended up, this is just the reality, right? Like some people say, like, that's just the way I am, right? Instead of just saying that and being a function or a product of who we are, to believe in the fact that you can make choices. And no matter how far you fall in, to believe in that fact is part of her instructions to him, is bocher, is be a chooser. And then make a choice. And she's telling him, make a choice to stay in the place for a year, and you're going to do something that year. What are you going to do that year? What's the avoda of that year? You could imagine that she's going to tell him like some like massive avoda. At least I would. If I'm right, like we always say, if I'm writing the story, right? If I'm writing the script, then this is like the crux. This is the mission. What's the mission? What she tell him? Chapter 9. She tells him the whole year, titka gea acharai lohotzi osi. Have a yearning to long to free me. Ubechol zman she'elecha penai. And then every time that you have free time, tia rak mitgadgeo mavakesh umetzapel lohotzi osi. You should only desire and request and pine away for when you can get me out. V'tihiye mis'ane. And you have to fast. U'bayom ha'achro me'ashana tihye mis'ane. And then on the last day of the year, you have to fast. V'lo tishan kol ha'me'is leis. And you shouldn't sleep the entire 24-hour period. So it's like, it's so mind-blowing to me that this is, she's telling him on the last day, meaning, this is the way you're going to get me out, is to do this. And then she tells him, just desire, just want that you should be able to free me, right? And it's, there seems to be a two-layered wanting, right? If you're careful about the way Rabbi Nachman is telling the story, there's the whole year you should have a feeling, to a desire to take me out. And then every time you have free time, you should only desire to take me out. So it's another question that I have is, what are these two levels where there's an overarching desire to take me out the whole year? And then also when you have free time, you should desire to take me out. So what is that? And then the whole idea of fasting at the end, right? That you have to fast. Really, it says you must also fast, which doesn't sound like to you that you have to fast the whole year.
No.
No, right? That you should have... No, she says two things. She says, V'tiyem esana, you should fast, and then it'll be Oma achro me'ashana tiyem esana. And then
like
on the last day.
At random times,
it seems to be an indication that she wants him to experience the idea of fasting or work that into his avoda.
As opposed to what? The whole time?
As opposed to doing it the whole time. V'tiyem esana, you should be fasting, meaning you should have periods of time where you fast. And then there's also an idea that on the last day, Mamash, you have to fast. And that's she's Makbid. The last day you have to fast and you shouldn't sleep. Those are her two requirements for the last day. And it sounds like, and then you'll have gotten me out, right? It's a very weird kind of build up to this, where this is the task. This is how you're going to get him out, right? This is how you're going to get out the, how you're going to rescue her. So, so what's the idea? What's the idea? What did you get if, from whatever you read from the chapter or didn't yet read?
I think something that can trip everyone up, just from the quick thoughts that I'm having on this, is that let's remove the viceroy and the princess for a second and just think about ourselves.
What's the avoda, right?
The first step in change is wanting to change. It gets confusing because, wait, the viceroy's on this journey to change and I've already taken that step, so why are you telling me to show me that you want to change when you already took this whole journey? Let's just remove that for a second. What we're talking about now is, what's the first step to make a change in your life? And that's to really want it.
Right.
And you really need to want it.
Because
it's a process.
Until you experience that want,
must also fast.
Until you experience that want to change, then you have every excuse.
It's never going
to
be real.
You have every excuse in the book not to change.
Right.
But you, go ahead, sorry.
Yeah.
So I was saying is what I think that I also think that it's what this chapter is teaching us is that want is our choice also.
Yes.
Meaning, yes, we have free choice, we have an inclination, and we are drawn to different things. That is our choosing, but we can choose to want something different. And the one thing is also a choice, which we don't realize a lot of time.
Right.
You know, we really don't, I mean, we don't realize
that. What do you mean by the wanting is a choice?
Meaning you can choose to want something. You can choose to want something more. You don't stop and think about, what is it that I really want? You know, like we go through our daily avodat Hashem. We go through our daily grind. You know, whatever we need to do in that day. I want to stop and think about what is it that we really want. You know, we do what we want. That's free choice. But Rabbi Nachman is saying, are you really wanting the right things? And that's the question of the princess is asking the viceroy. That's why you have to really set aside. Make sure that you want, you know, to free me. You know what I'm saying?
Take it a step further. If the thing that you want, let's say you're experiencing want, right? But if the thing that you want is not the princess she's telling him, then you'll never find
right.
me.
Right.
You'll never find me.
Right.
Right? If the thing that you want, go to an extreme example. If you're learning Torah in order to be honored, right? In order to get kavod, then the Torah will never bring you to the princess.
And not only that, but let's say if you're learning or doing the mitzvot in order to... You want to feel good because you're doing the right... You want to do the right thing because it makes you feel good.
Right, right.
I want to do the right thing.
Right.
Nobody's going to tell me I'm doing anything wrong.
Right.
But is that what you... Is that where it ends? You know what I'm saying?
That's such a... And that's exactly what she's telling him is...
Where does it end?
Your desire over this period of time, your desire in your growth has to be for me.
Right.
You have to be seeking...
So where does it end?
What do you mean?
By accomplishing your mission.
You have to try and want a real close connection to Hashem. I think this is... You have to really want it.
I was just telling you a minute. I'm just going to read, actually have it, you
yeah,
see?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, this is about the rabbi who I looked up to, who passed away. Despite his greatness, he was a real down-to-earth person. What was covered was not in his vocabulary. There were certain kibbutim such that he refused to take because he saw what it does to people. Though we all knew him as a great tzaddik, he tried to hide his true greatness with all his jokes and laughs. One of the last teachings I remember hearing from Reb Shlomo Kupitz concerned why the Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov really spoke about suffering in Gehenim and the like, which is always a taina.
Right.
It is because they weren't concerned with the reward and punishment. They were totally focused on doing things completely for the Rabbanu Shlalom. It wasn't a discussion. That's why the Talmidei Baal Shem. And that's what it is.
That was the yearning was...
Altiu, and he brings down. Altiu ka'avodim ha-masham shen as a rav on the Kabul pras. Elohi ka'avodim ha-masham shen as a rav. Shavoy ha-manas ha-kabul pras. V'yi yamari shem shemayim. And that's what the end game is. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think that's what you're saying. Exactly that. That why do we do things?
Right.
We do it so we can get rewards. We do it to be important.
This is a very deep sort of introspective type of analysis you have to do and see. I'm going to get up and I'm going to go do whatever I'm going to go do. Go make myself a coffee. I'm going to go to work. I'm going to go take the kids to school. I'm going to go do this. I'm going to go after this job. And you're doing a bunch of stuff. And something's driving you. You may not realize it, but you want something. And that's what's driving you. You have to ask yourself,
What's in the driver's seat?
What's, you know, yeah.
It's b'chinas the gevir shetish.
Right.
It's set your brain to a goal of ruchnius. I want to give X amount of dollars to tzedakah this year. And the point of the Gevir Shetish is not to say I would like to do something and then give the check.
Fill him in with the Gevir Shetish.
We did
it for the first time this year.
You're like old veterans. Yeah, the Gevir Shetish.
Basically, we got invited to Danny Cutler's house, and he said that the Lubavitch Rebbe had an idea that instead of being that guy who, when I win the lottery, I'll give $1 million, Hashem has millions of those Jews walking around. He said the Lubavitch Rebbe of blessed memory said that the week before Rosh Hashanah, you pledge something that's way far-fetched out of right field to give for your financial ability, but it's attainable through not Derech HaTeva. Not Derech HaTeva, meaning Derech HaTeva you make 80 grand, you're going to give, instead of giving 8 grand or 16, you're going to give now 40, and because there's a way to make 400, it's just not in your realm right now. And pledge that the day before Rosh Hashanah and say, listen, Hashem, I'm giving this. Now I kept my end, and now you keep your end. Now you divide that 40 into 12, because everybody has a credit card, so you give 3,300 month one, and it hurts because you're not really making a lot.
Just for the record, this year was great because it is a new year.
Month two, you give, and then Hashem will give it back. So he's saying that's the whole idea of the Gevir Shetish, that what's our focus when we go to work? Is our focus to heavy our pockets, or our focus was remember that we did that to give the charity?
Just if you think about it, there's so many levels and so many layers to this idea, which is incredible. But the main idea, what I see from this, is to set an absurd goal in Ruchnius, and then you have to achieve it because you really want it. Meaning, when you pledge,
the question is: do you want the goal?
Right.
You want to achieve the goal, or what is it that you want the goal for? You follow me?
Yes. The want needs to be real. And whatever that want is, when it's real, you'll get there. Because that's what you want. Meaning, I'm from birth. I went through the yeshiva system. The first time I've ever heard of a 10-year Ruchnius plan was from Dan Coleman on one of his podcasts. It blew my mind. Like, I've been learning my whole life. Like, I've never thought about what I want to look like in 10 years from now, or what svarim I want to finish in 10 years. And I think he made the comment that he wants to finish Tor Shulchan Aruch when he's 50. And I was like, I've never heard of this thing in my life. It's because when, can you imagine, every business has like a 5-year plan or a quarterly or a yearly plan, right? We're going to achieve this year. How many people have that in their ruchnias? Where my goal for this year is A, B, C, and D. And the reason why they don't is A, because we just don't even think about what we're doing, like what we're saying, or B, we don't really want. Like, it's secondary. It's not really the
and
focus.
It becomes a chore.
Correct.
You get yourself in this plan and you're like, now I gotta do it.
No, he's saying the other way.
No, it's both. It's both sides.
But there's also an idea of
right, because
no, hold on.
When you really want it.
You're right. There are two types of guys.
Yes.
There's the guy who meets the plan and then the guy who exceeds the plan of business. When a guy in a business that has a plan for a year and he hits his plan in June, does he stop working for 6 months?
No.
But the guy in the Limud, when he hits it in 6 months, does he stop learning?
A day ahead. No.
So if he stops learning, then you're right, it's a chore. If he pounds and he says, I'm going to finish one mizrach, and he finishes four, it was a good plan for the year. And that's also the perspective.
All right, are you gonna stop when you reach your gevirisha amount? Are you gonna stop at that number?
Tzedakah or working?
Tzedakah.
No, but working. Yeah, I would never.
But that's the point. Meaning the, I think that's the point of this chapter.
That's not my difficulty. I have other difficulties. That's not one of them. Me stopping to work is not a difficulty.
In order to achieve something, you need to really want.
Okay.
You really want it. And don't fool yourself.
I think that is important.
But I think there's
another element to it, and this is what he's uncovering over here from the words of Rabbi Nachman in other places, and I think we have to see this Rabbi Nassim inside one paragraph from Rabbi Nassim. But what he's uncovering is we're very much trained and look
to
at this whole,
at the end?
Nope. I'm not there yet.
So excited for this.
No. We're very much, hear me out. We're very much trained. Very much. Very much trained. And look at our whole conversation was about desire that leads to results. Our entire conversation was about creating a desire for a certain result, right? And then the question was, what is the result, right? Here, I think that Rabbi Nachman tells us in other places that it's the desire itself that I seek. And I know that that's the point of what we were saying before, but there's an avoda in the desire itself, and he says it over here. This is what he's talking about. Yeah.
It's the yearning.
Meaning, this is an easy trap, and I think I fall into this. We think that when I say I want to do the right thing, that the only value that has is when I go do the right thing. But what he's pointing out is that there's an avoda to be done in defining what you desire. Don't worry about the goal right now. Before you get to the goal, before you talk about what that desire will produce, he's telling us that, listen to this one sentence. The bottom of 169. Holy desire is not simply tolerated by Hashem. It represents the very purpose of creation. And you have to read the other parts of the paragraph to understand that. The idea is that the desire itself, if I can sit in a room and without any result right now in front of me, I can sit in a room and define that what I want is the princess in my life. That itself is an avoda.
But I think from what I understand is that it's not necessarily defining it,
yeah,
so to speak, but it's sort of just wanting that connection.
Okay.
Wanting that closeness, wanting that connection to Hashem. And that is within our realm of choice. You know, I think what the instruction here is giving to the viceroy is just, you have to be sure you really want it. And just work on the want.
Just
work on the want. Don't do anything.
There's nothing else.
There's nothing else to do, right?
Okay.
Don't eat too much. Don't drink too much. You know, certain days you gotta fast. You know, don't go too much into the materialism. Okay, sometimes, it says, and when you have a chance, you know, in your day, focus on wanting for that 1 year. Just want. Want a connection. Want to get close to Hashem.
And we fall in the trap and say, okay, but then what?
Yeah,
meaning,
right, right,
I could
right,
be,
right.
I could sit back and
what
say,
what am I going to do with this?
Wrestlers are nuts. So you're going to sit the whole day and think about what you want. When are you going to do something? No. Yeah, it's a good challenge. I mean, it's a real challenge. And that's what Rabbi Nachman is telling us. The wanting itself is the avoda.
That is exactly what Hashem
wants.
Well,
it's step one of the avoda.
That's the trap.
You can't live your whole life with just wanting.
Good. Let's see how Rabbi Nachman says
this.
I'm with you.
I know what he's saying.
I'm with you, but don't devalue.
Shevi Yivot Tzadik.
No.
Meaning, what he's saying is the journey of want. You need to want in order to succeed. Sorry. You need to want.
Yes.
Okay? But that in itself is part, is an accomplishment, is a win, is a victory, even without accomplishing whatever your goal is.
The want itself is a mitzvah.
Yes.
And is rewarded.
Yes.
I mean, it is accomplishing something.
Of course.
If you take and focus.
But we could all agree that if we spend the rest of our lives just wanting and doing nothing, you've done nothing.
No, but that's wrong.
That's
wrong. Because
that's exactly what Rabbi Nachman
said. There's a mitzvah to think about Hashem. A mitzvah. Just to think about Hashem, that Hashem is one. A mitzvah to love Hashem.
If I spend the rest of my life wanting to keep the Torah, but never keeping the Torah.
If you're thinking about Hashem for an hour.
Yeah, speaking, you're going to go to hell, but the other guy's going to go to heaven.
You've done a mitzvah for that whole hour.
You're doing it. You're like the spite store today.
Yes. A mitzvah
to you're the spite store. It's not crazy.
Let's hear.
No, okay.
Is
this confusing to you? This point? That desire itself, it's not, the question is not
Carlos.
Desire as a vehicle to something. Desire in it of itself is important.
No, the thing that's like I'm stuck with is that you've been wanting this whole time. You're looking.
Okay.
You didn't hear what I said?
I never listened to you.
Yeah.
Fair.
Yes, you're right. He has been looking the whole time. And this is another layer, another element that Rabbi Nachman's telling us. Part of your growth, you have to focus on desire. Remember, not linear. So it doesn't necessarily have to follow linear.
No, but for
right?
Try and on.
Does that answer it? Meaning, I know you went through stuff, but now we're getting to, we're going to make it real.
No.
And
that I agree with. But
the
I don't think Carl's
step
talking about
to
this.
Make it real is to desire. Let's hear it from the words of Rabbi Nachman, because sometimes even though he translates the whole thing over here, I think hearing it from his words, I don't know, for me it was like I don't know, this is Sosov Dovos Bekever. So also this quote from Rav Kook, I think if you look at it critically, it's not talking about action on 170. It's talking about did I just distract you from the words of Rabbi Nachman? Sorry. He's not talking about action there. He's just saying,
can we say it differently? Results-oriented religion.
No, we are.
We're not.
But we are. That is exactly what my text message was. I am confused.
The point is,
I'm working this through, by the way.
We're really not, because we're all about the struggle. We're all about the journey. It's not about what happens in the end.
Okay, but the results are, you do have to have results like, I tried my best.
Listen to what you just said. You tried your best.
That's a result. That's a something.
That's not a result.
It's something.
You can try your best to break a mida.
Right.
If you don't succeed, let's just say that means you weren't supposed to. Because if you tried your best by definition and you didn't succeed, then you weren't supposed to.
Okay.
So Hashem didn't want you to.
Okay.
Therefore, you did what you were supposed to do, which was try. So we're not results oriented. And you're going to sit in Olam Haba
action,
next to
action oriented, no. Action. You have to have some action.
Wanting, and that's what Carlos is saying.
That's
wanting is an action.
And that's the chiddush to me. That is a massive chiddush to me. That wanting itself is an action as opposed to wanting that leads to a quantifiable action.
Because
something that you can
count. The action
counter.
Starts with the thoughts.
Okay.
Thought, speech, action. This is the world that we live in. It starts with the thoughts. But the thought is something that is happening. You can think about whatever you want to think about. You can change your mind whichever way you want. So you're actively, it's like a limb that you're moving. Rabbi Nachman says it in Sifot Aran, that you can change, you move your mind like a limb. If you can move it like a limb, then it's an action. It's a way of, it's a, some type of a,
he says here the idea of ratzon comes from even above your machshava. It's connected to Keter. It's connected even above, right? Even above Chachma, Keter, that's where Ratzon comes from, like Hashem, right? Keter is always like the Ratzon to create.
But it's in a way also, it's interesting because if it's above the mind can also direct it.
Right.
What we're being told,
right? Right.
So how can you direct something that's above
right.
you, right?
Right. Unless it's so much a part of you, it comes even before your thoughts. Meaning it's so integral to who you are. Gaguim, Ratzon, is so integral to who you are, it's even before you start thinking about things, there is a will before even you then start putting it into thoughts.
Right.
Maybe. So it's like something, it's like, to some it's level like
a raw,
before.
A raw,
it's a very raw emotion, right? It's Keter is like the unbound. You didn't even start thinking about it yet, but you know that when you wake up, your desire is for Hashem. I didn't start thinking about how I'm going to do it or what I'm going to do with this and that. What is it? How am I going to machshava it? What I'm going to think about? I'm going to think only about Hashem before
you. Even as emotion, like.
Yeah, but you have to have a real reason why you can't perform the mitzvah. You can't want.
You know, like,
and you're just lazy. Like, if you're in bed, page,
you want to want.
No, yeah, I'm saying he brought up.
No, I said that. I said this might be the most fundamental difference between the yeshiva system and chassidus. The want is not good enough.
Oh, and that's the chiddush of this chapter. No, exactly. That's why I have to work it over in my head.
I'm thinking of so many stories that have happened to me with my
rabbi. If you
want
to come to chakras when you're laying in bed.
No, which is why their most famous line is, you don't really want, you want to want.
Which is a bad thing.
But the question is, even in Reb Nachman and Reb Nosson, what does it mean you want? If I'm laying in bed at 9 o'clock, I'm like, I want to come to chakras. It's just cold outside. I get scarf for that, or I'm a bum?
There's an avoda in that.
Reb Nachman says that if you want, you'll do.
Oh.
If you don't want, you won't. So how strong is the want?
That's where I'm heading.
Right.
So let's see it in the words of Rabbi Nassim.
Exactly.
But that's true.
Here's the point. That's only true when it's a real want. That's why you got to spend the year
wanting to be there.
You're choosing your want.
You're laughing, but it's true.
That is
if there was a good poker game at 9, or if there's a good concert that I want to be at, I'll be there.
That is the bar. I really want to. I'm not gonna miss it. Period. It's exactly the
nekuda.
Let's see what he says.
That's Reb Nachman.
Let's see how Rabbi Nassim says it. I hope only that it sheds light, and I may take the position of defending it, but not because I fully understand it. You understand?
No,
I play devil's advocate.
I don't understand. But let's hear Reb Nassim.
Not enough people to devil's advocate.
No? Why?
Take the position you understand.
I don't understand this.
Let's hear it.
I don't devil's advocate.
Okay, so I'm telling you. In working through this
from the earth.
Va'klalhu, this is in Hilchos Ariv, okay? Va'klalhu, yeah? How does this connect to an Ariv? Okay. Va'klalhu.
Gimel Dalet?
Gimel Hey.
Gimel
Hey. Va'klalhu, she'ain shum yush bolam klal. Yeah, it starts in, I think, right? The idea is that there's never anything... Rabbi Nachman taught us there's never anything called giving up. V'afilim adam hu kamoshahu, no matter how a person is, kol zman shadayin hu zocher es Hashem yisparach, as long as he still remembers Hashem, v'yesh lo ratzon lashuv elav yisparach, and he has the desire to return to God, afal pi shezek kama asher kima asher hu kosef lashuv elav yisparach, right? Even though he's so longed to return to Hashem, and yet he has not yet performed teshuva, adaraba. The exact opposite. Pigam yoser v'hosef chet al pesha chas v'shalom. And not only that, he hasn't returned to Hashem, but he's even added on to his sins. Afal pike, nevertheless, yechazek atzmo, he should be mechazek himself, strengthen himself, beharatzon, in the desire, yoser v'yoser, more and more. V'yargil atzmo b'chol eis, and he should become accustomed at all times. Lichsof kisufim, right? How do you translate kisufim? Longings or something. Kisufim is like in a long distance relationship with someone you're in love with, right? Kisufim is like a deep, deep yearning. U'lehishtokek l'Hashem yisparach tamid b'chol eis. And to constantly pine away for Hashem at all times. And through that, bivadai sof kol sof yizke latzeis meshitusav. Then in the end, he's going to get out of his stupidity. V'yizke bivadai l'tshuva b'li safek. So he's describing a person that can't get out of bed. He's describing that guy who's sitting in bed. Yeah, what's his avoda?
It sounds like that, almost like what's Reb Nosson telling you almost? That what do we do? We play the guilt game. Do what you do. Just keep remembering God's existing. God.
What? You want God. If you really do.
And what happens? You eventually Which is not bad, but you feel guilty.
The guy to keep going.
What do you mean? He's telling him that?
Yeah, because
in your matzev, there's an avoda.
No, I'm saying, yeah, I see what you're saying.
It's the guilt game?
Yeah, which is fine.
As long as you sleep late, as long as you're thinking about Hashem.
Yeah, yeah,
no, that's
what he's doing?
Don't jump the shackles. Just remember, Hashem really wants you to be there.
Doesn't seem like his style. Doesn't seem like
his style. I know, but
he's talking about not a guy who's completely lost. He's talking about a guy who is drowning in
Says he's doing a lot of chataim
in the world, and he's doing a lot of chataim, and he's maybe just starting to want to get close to Hashem. Meaning, it's already had; it has to start from somewhere, and it's not going to be told what to do. You're going to go to the beach with everybody's hanging out naked. You need to think about Hashem, and then they're going to start thinking about Hashem. They're going to go beat you up. You know what I'm saying?
No, he's saying, no.
What he's saying
is he's turning it to yourself. Somebody else.
I'm deciding to never miss chakras tonight. I'm making a Kabbalah. I'm never going to miss chakras ever again in my life. Guess what's going to happen tomorrow? I'm going to oversleep. Mm-hmm. Rav Nosson is saying is when you wake up and you realize that you miss chakras, don't be upset or depressed or sad and say, forget it, I already screwed up. It's the journey. It's the one. Right. Now, right. Continue going, right. And you're gonna miss more. You're gonna do more chatam. You might be not zochet to the tshuva, but keep going because that's what it's all about.
But the advice here is the fact that you want to do something good and you want to improve. Work on that.
That fact.
Right. Work on it
because
if you can't do it and you fall again, just don't lose the want.
Don't lose the one.
Don't lose it, because
somebody,
we go on autopilot and we just forget about what we want altogether. We just go like zombies. You know what I'm saying?
So what's the opposite situation here? We're saying I don't want to go to chakras, but I push myself to go.
No, yeah, I don't think he's describing action.
No, I'm not saying him. But right? I don't really want to be here. Right? I don't want to be here tonight.
Right.
But I'm here. And I push myself to be here.
Right.
What is that? Is that
that means
nothing?
No, because that means you want to be here.
No.
So why are you here? Why are you here? Why are you here?
Guilt.
What?
No, but that means you want to be here.
No.
You respond
that's
well.
The way I'm describing it.
No,
yeah.
No,
I don't think guilt uncovers your real
rut. Specific question, right? It's not about tonight or about Sean. I'm saying,
right.
If someone does not want to, there, my kid does not want to go and open a safer and learn Gemara. I don't want to. But I push myself to do it.
Why?
Any reason. You pick the reason.
But whatever
the reason is, it's because
you want something about that.
Something about it. Whether you want your father to respect you, whether you feel bad knowing that deep down it's the right thing to
give. Whether you want your son not to be like you.
There's no yearning here for wanting to do this.
Of course.
So is that nothing? Is that emptiness? Is that... Like, why am I doing this right now? I'm not even.
Somebody told me today, Isaac. Somebody told me today that he learns. He learns a certain Gemara. He makes it his business to let his kid, who's a little kid, see him learning Gemara, and he can't stand it for whatever reason. He can't stand what he's doing. So I said, "So why do you do it?" He said, "Because I don't want my son to hate it." So what's he doing? He's doing it for the sole reason.
Wants his son to
he
learn
wants
Gemara.
It, hopefully, in his head, his son may not hate it. It's also a want. It's just maybe a different want.
But here's talking about the want for Hashem.
That's over here.
That's
Isaac's talking about a different
I'm
want.
Talking about, that's what I'm asking. Is that want doing, meaning, and pushing yourself to do something, also like, is it like kind of, in a sense, worthless that you don't want to do this, and even though you're pushing yourself to do this, this is not something, it's not the way to do it. Meaning, I guess I'm having trouble putting into words. Like
maybe wanting it for the wrong reasons. Is what you're saying. You want
right,
it,
wanting
but maybe
it
it's not for the wrong reasons.
But not for the right reasons, but also more than that. That
I actually got
I'm just
what you're
here
saying.
So people don't
what
talk
do
about
do?
Me that they don't see me on Shabbos. So
right, I got what you're saying. Like community pressure. The whole reason I go to shul. As I go to shul Shabbos morning, it's because people will tell me if I'm not associated with any synagogue in the Fondren community. I'm not religious, and I want people to say I'm religious, so I'm going to come on for only Shabbos morning. Mincha, nobody cares.
We're talking Ruchnius.
That's what he's saying. It's a Ruchnius thing.
That is
he's saying a guy's going to come to shul just Shabbos morning? For the sole purpose, yeah, I think that
he means we're talking about holy desire. We're talking about desire.
That's someone who's living without the princess who doesn't want the princess.
Right.
I understand. So my question is the action not
that mean? action doesn't mean anything.
That action is a fake action.
Not about Hashem.
That action is the same like his coffee.
I disagree. I think that action means.
This is what
let me clarify.
It's just maybe.
But the circuit breaker's dead, but the action's there.
What?
The action no, it's more than that. It's more than right. that. You I can't discount him. Someone who's learning
right.
for the wrong reasons again, is still learning, again, is still engaging right. with Hashem's Torah.
What we're trying to figure out here is how to live a life of Kedusha, to live with the passion, with the princess. So what we're discussing is how do we get that? We have to want it, and we have to really want it. That's not to discredit the guy that forces himself to go to shul because of peer, because of community pressure. Sure, he's going to get schar for going to shul and davening.
And he may actually become serious.
And he may actually become serious.
And want the princess. But
maybe.
But that's
who
not
knows?
The guy that
but that's not the guy we're talking about.
Your question is not about the book.
Right.
No, it's not about the book. It's just thinking of the
you
object.
Can't.
Meaning, right now what we're talking about is just the desire to want is in itself an avoda. It's in itself what?
Hashem.
Okay,
after to
sorry,
want,
sorry. to want for the right reasons.
Yes,
is
for
but
the real.
But the guy
real.
You're describing is not that. Even
right.
that.
Of course not. I mean, the guy I'm describing is
the six sons.
Yeah, but
is
like,
the six sons
exactly.
What can action you quantify? Is what action did I do?
Yeah, what did I do to make my
did
wife
that,
happy? What did I do to make my
no,
kids
I
look?
I would love to play footsie with you, but not today.
My feet are on a chair.
Okay, fine.
My feet, felt both my knees. Both of my feet are on the chair.
Oh, okay, fine. yeah, what we're talking about is working on making that choosing, that thing that I desire to be, I want the princess in my life. So we talked about the milas of the princess, and we talked about all that, but now work on the desire, and the extra level that we're adding in this chapter is the fact that working on the desire is an achizuk and an avoda in and of itself, is to set aside time to define inside of your mind, I know I use the word define, you don't like that word, but to choose in your mind what it is that you want and make sure that that thing that you want is the princess.
Yeah.
In your life.
But really, you should want the princess. I mean, even that guy. It's like...
Is he going to say like, oh, I don't want to feel good about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, like once you're coming, it's like, it almost sounds stupid, but in the Litvish world, they're right. Like in class with the Rebbe, and now I'm a little more mature, he's right. He's sitting in my Gemara class anyways.
So true.
Why are you doodling and wasting your time?
I'm with you.
When we're in 6th grade and 8th grade, you're like, shut up, I want to doodle. But really, he's right.
Period.
I'm here. At least I'm enjoying. Meaning the guy that he's describing
what
on
do
that
you
job
want?
This morning, which could be many people, like the six sons.
Tom Brady is not
true,
better.
He may as well try to gain
he
something.
Wants more.
Like enjoy the princess.
That's what they say. Double
like,
overtime. Double overtime. You won by 2 points. How?
Yeah.
How?
It's like the
you won by 2 points.
No,
they
I have
wanted
no
it more. They
not enjoy.
Kobe wanted
it. Why not enjoy?
That's the whole time on LeBron.
That's the part of that. I mean, he's saying Kobe Bryant, right? Kobe Bryant. He was better than everyone else. Okay, he had natural talents. That's for sure true. But in the end of the day, Kobe wanted it more than anyone else on the court. His desire was for that. His princess, which was the trophy, he wanted it more. And
you mean the ball?
You have to work on setting for yourself what it is that you desire.
The team or the ball?
I think that the avodah.
You mentioned autopilot, right?
Yeah, I think what the princess is telling the
as opposed to DeRozan?
Is the work of sifting through your desires, sifting through your wants.
Guys, if you're not talking
to me, that's it, though. Like David Amelech said, get away from the bad and do good. Meaning, you have to do a self-assessment, the way that I understand it, and see, I'm doing this now, why am I doing this? What is it that I really want? And you have to ask yourself that question, I think.
Tell me what you want,
you know?
What you really, really want.
So when you analyze it, I think that's when it's saying you have to work on the desire. It's sort of sifting it through your mind and recognizing that there's something called desire that's pushing me that I don't necessarily think about, but I'm running like I'm a madman. I don't even know why.
Right.
Right. What's pushing me to do this?
Right.
Right. You got to figure it out. I think that's what it's telling us is, you know,
And what is it? What is it that you desire? Is the princess? Right. I mean, that's what she's in the story. That's what she's telling that you. You want to forget the princess?
You really?
Then make sure that what you really want is the princess.
That's right.
Make sure it's not any of the six sons. It's not any of my brothers. It's not someone who looks like me. It's not a cheap imitation.
Right.
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 I like to maybe just bring out a point. I don't know if it's true, and I would have to read this book again to see if there's any way this would fit in. But it could also be the first way that I was talking about, the just going and doing and not really wanting it for the right reasons, is the whole viceroy's travel in the beginning. Meaning, he's doing the actions of showing up, even though, like, of course, like, yeah, I'd love for the princess to go back and be back there. But it could be the actions that he's doing is not the actions that he's invested all this time in and really wants the...
It
actually fits very nicely.
I like it on some
because
level.
Because the king sends the viceroy in the beginning, right?
Right.
The viceroy...
And now... Right, the king sends the viceroy.
Yeah.
And now, she says, not if the king wants me, if you want me.
Right.
So the whole part of the journey, it could be that he was journeying for the king.
Meaning doing it for other
people. Now that he's actually confronted with the princess.
Could be.
She changes and says, you want me? Oh, if you want me, then...
That's how you get me out.
Right.
When you define that you really want me. Let's hear Reb Nassim. The Derech Zeh. He eitza tova unechona lechol adam shebaolam migadol vad katan. Said this idea of working on your desire and holding on to your desire and really, really making your desire real, it works for everyone, from big to small. Pain tzaddik gadol mode. Whether we're talking about a big tzaddik, o ish kasher beemes, or a very kosher person, hatzarich latzis midarga ledarga gavoa yoser, who his avoda is just to go from a high level to an even higher level. Vehein, and also it applies to anashim haketanim b'mayla ma'od, to very, very small people. Va'afilu hamunachim b'sha'ol tachtiot hamuluchlachim b'maysim ra'im ma'od. Even someone who's in the depths of the dungeon, the dark, the dirty dungeon. Afal pike, nevertheless, for both of these, for all of these. Al yedei b'chinas ratzon, ha'kol yechol nulalos, mitachlis diota tachtona, ad rum ha'maylos. Ratzon can, when you define what your real ratzon is, it can take you from, beautiful words, diota tachtona, from the bottom step until the highest heights. The efshar levar b'ksav otzem maylos ha'ratzon v'ha'kisufim dekedusha, it's just impossible to really put into words how much Rabbi Nachman stressed this. What we heard from his mouth. I can't even describe to you 1/1000th of what this means. Meaning, anything that he's saying here is just scratching the surface of how big of an avoda Rabbi Nachman told them this is. Ukvar gila kama v'kama toros gavos al ze asher nitfasu kvar. We've already written many Torahs from Rabbi Nachman. Avol yoser mizeh hevanenu mipiv hakadosh umitunosav hakadoshim. From the movements of Rabbi Nachman, from just watching him, what they saw, uremizosav haniflo and be'esh shedibor mizeh. And the remizas, the little hints that he gave when he talked about this kama v'kama pamim countless times. This was central to the worldview of Rabbi Nachman, was that we need to spend time holding on to, defining, clarifying what it is we are seeking. The tzarech kol adam kfi mashehu. This is where he says lahargil atzmo meod bizeh, to be ragil, like regular, meaning set aside time to do this. Lichsof ulishtokik tamid Hashem yisbarach beratzom chazak v'takif. With a strong and hard desire. These words are like crazy. And he says, this is a level that is attainable by every single person to set time to do this. Even the lowest of the low. And it's impossible to mess this up. Someone who wants to do it. Ki bishlama, this is what he says this in the book. Ki bishlama kol hadvarim vayitz shabalam yachala baldavar lisgaber libli la niyach esadim lasosam. Come up with all the plans you want in avodas Hashem, right? Right before you walk into the door from being at work, you say, tonight's going to be different. I'm going to be nice to my kids. I'm going to be nice to my wife. The second you walk in, the soup is on the floor. There's a fire on the stove, right? The kids knock the bookshelf over like you never thought that bookshelf could come down, right? The kids knock it over. The Yetzer Hara, the Baal Dover, can get in the way of any plan you have. That's concrete plan. Avo Ratzon Levad, right? But desire, E Esher Listor B'Shamofen. The Yetzer Hara can't get in the way. Ki Yiyah Ech Sheyiyah. No matter what happens, afal pikein ani rotz, a person says to themselves, nevertheless, no matter what happens, my ratzon is lashuv l'Hashem yisparach b'ratzon chazak, to come back to Hashem with a strong will. Ki mi pesi u'mishuga shelo yirtza tov ha'miti v'anitzri, rak shekasha lo l'iskaber, al mash tzarech l'iskaber. He says, of course, every person can think this. Just think honest, just be honest with yourself. You say, okay, listen, if I'm honest with myself, then I like the Netflix better than the Night Seder. If I'm honest with myself, what do I really want? Of course I want to be a Night Seder, but I'm making silly choices, right? If I get real honest with myself. Aval kol panim haratzon shel kol Yisrael hamaminim b'Hashem yisbarach bevadei chazak mod lashuv elav
yisbarach. It's a lot easier to relate when we don't think about Judaism. For some reason, because we're all born with the innate ratzon,
yeah,
it's a lot harder to admit. I think that's something that we were discussing before everybody came.
Yeah.
Mordechai. It's a lot harder to admit, like, I suck as a Jew. Or not I suck as a Jew, but I could be doing so much better. But when it comes to food,
I don't really want.
When it comes to food, we can all relate. It's actually very interesting. I was thinking that. Yeah. Like, we know that eating four slices of pizza is bad for you. And as you're eating it, you're saying it's bad for you. And you're really going to eat the salad.
I really, really
And
know.
You even have right here a salad. And it's not even, like, you know it. When it comes to, what's it called? You're always more ahead there. Like, I don't have the energy to learn, but I can watch Netflix. There's no thinking involved.
Right, I can just sit on the couch.
It's easy because you can't admit that you suck.
Right.
And that's what we all do in Yiddishkeit.
Right.
And every level, the guy on level A and the best levels, he also has the Yetzer Hara. Maybe it's not the same as mine and yours.
My 12th grade RB said, and I remember when he said it, I was so mad at him.
That
he said, Adi Mam Luna Shalema, right? That Afo Pishi Yisbameh, I believe that Mashiach come any second of any day.
A Jets game.
No, he said, no, that was my 9th grade RB. 9th grade RB says, Rabbi. You're all a bunch of liars. None of you believe it. Says, because if you did, you would never do an Aver in your life.
That's a little bit harsh.
It's the truth. Think about it. Because if every second of every day you believe that Mashiach can come, or that Hashem's watching, or Bebchinas, whatever, you would never do anything wrong. Because you would focus all day, every day on
it. Okay, but it's very...
Yeah, but that's working on a level of...
Of course.
Hashem blinded us on purpose and we can't see anything.
Of course, but the message is there. Because if we really want...
See, that's the thing. That's what he's saying is the most important thing.
Right.
The most important thing that Hashem wants is he wants us to want him.
To really want.
But we get so confused. We get so sidetracked.
Yeah.
You know, we want
but when it comes
stuff.
To food, that's you know, why we relate.
Because
when you're not a good husband,
I think
I'm not you, you're perfect. But when I'm not a good husband, I'm on your head there like, oh, she's crazy, or my kids are crazy, or this. But when it comes to food, it's always easy to relate. Like, you know that fried food, four egg rolls and pastrami and fried onion is poison. And you know that salad that nobody wants to touch, you send to the women's section. And you're taking the schnitzel from the women's section to the men's section. What is it? Because
yeah.
We're honest with ourselves when it comes to health. And then even the guy who goes through a couple of stents for the first 2 months he bathes and cheats again knows it's bad for him. Like, what do you want from me? Not to enjoy my food. I know it's bad for me. But when it comes to learning, and it comes to Judaism, we're always, I'm tired, my back is hurting, I'm sick,
it's not
just I'm
that.
This.
It's going to the gym, it's not just Judaism, it's everything. Anything that you have to, like,
No, but going to the gym, you know it's not, you're supposed to do the right thing. Meaning, also going to the gym. I should go to the gym.
Yeah.
The fact that I don't, I'm wrong. That, and we don't think that ever. It's not, I can't do 5 nights a week, Night Seder.
It comes down to something very basic. Whether you want it or not. That's it. It's
but also the Yetzer Hara plays.
I want that.
But I think the way you're saying it is more, like what he was saying is more... the guilt, and he's saying, no. Don't worry about the fact that you're making excuses in your life. Decide what you really want. Work on what you really want.
That's he's exactly right. Also, the eighth element is unfair because you're saying, when it comes to learning, you also have that guy on the that little like in the movies, that little guy that's like, don't do it. When it comes to the food, either there's a guy always telling you to pick the fried food, but I don't believe that.
No, I believe you're just choosing without any. All right. That guy, for whatever reason, that guy doesn't exist on Yom Kippur.
He does.
You've ever eaten Yom Kippur?
No, because I've...
Why not?
Because I squashed that guy.
Because
I squashed that guy.
You want to fast on Yom Kippur.
Not because I squashed that guy. You know why I squashed the guy? Because Yom Kippur is one day a year.
No, but that's my point.
But that's really why we squashed the guy. Yom Kippur is one day a year.
But that doesn't want us to fast every single day of the year.
But if he did, there's no scenario
in your brain that you're going to eat a burger on Yom Kippur.
Not
because... You want to fast on Yom Kippur. There's nothing that's going to do that.
Right. That's exactly why. No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
It's not.
Because it's your core depth belief that I need to fast on Yom Kippur, and there's nothing I'm going to do that's going to stop that. If you had that belief...
No, I squashed that guy. I squashed that guy.
Of course you could squash it. Because you wanted to. Really wanted to.
That's what you really wanted.
That's the whole part.
It could be there's certain things you're born with. It's like the kid who...
Of course, you're born with more tithes for other things.
No, meaning...
But when you really want something, you accomplish it no matter what, period.
Huh? What?
You think Moshe Rosenberg is eating a burger on Yom Kippur?
Sure.
Exactly. So let's
picture yourself. Want it.
Maybe not.
I have no idea.
Because deep down he knows what he wants.
Maybe he is eating the burger.
At some point there's something that you're not going
to
do.
I'm trying
to fit in with your conversation right now.
No, because I squashed it. There are certain things I know. I'll never touch a cigarette in my life. Because at 36 I never did. End of story. I squashed it.
We're not saying that you can't squash something. But you only squash when you want to. That's the whole point.
I disagree with you.
I agree.
Let me rephrase that. I don't know what you're saying, really.
Right.
What I'm saying is, not because you squash it, you never experience it. Same way you don't desire lobster.
At the end of the day.
Lobster right now? I don't even know. It doesn't even sound appetizing.
This is everything.
People swear by it.
You know what this book teaches you? To just be honest with yourself. The common denominator of this book is. There's nothing to talk about if we're not being honest with ourselves.
Right.
And that's what this chapter is about. Like, you really want something? Then work on really wanting something. Get to that point where you're going to do anything to achieve that goal. And that want is the goal for right now. It's just be honest.
It gets rid of all the morahetter.
There is no more excuses. Listen, you might have good excuses. At the end of the day, it's an excuse. You don't show up to night service because you don't want to be there. Yeah. Period. It's just the reality. It's the reality.
You're right. It's the truth. The other thing was you wanted to have a baby more than you wanted to be at night service.
But you weren't saying, no.
You say, like, no, I'm out of town. Like, oh, you want to be out of town more than you want to be at night service. Otherwise, you'd be at night
But that's time. True. What do you mean? He has a flight tonight. It's exactly the truth. It is. How many people have babies? How many people have to be in town, Isaac? It's a lie.
It's not.
It is.
It is.
Yaakov's the prime example.
I think what he's saying.
I'm going to chanifa him a little. But he has a flight at 4 in the morning.
I think
because he wanted to be here tonight.
I think what he's
saying. It's a lot more difficult.
But I think what he's saying is when you are not able to be where you want to be. When you're not able to be where you want to be.
That's why we're having...
Forget about...
Sorry, let me move back on. I have this discussion. And the discussion is... Like... The discussion is... If you're not feeling well...
You know, right. Like there's some...
You want to be in bed more than
you want to be at. Doesn't matter if you have the flu.
That's true.
And then otherwise... I'm not thinker.
And what he's telling you... Wait, that's such a good point. Because that's not... I don't think that's a trigger
point,
right?
I've done that in the past.
That's such an important point. Isaac said, when you're not feeling well... So he's saying you would rather be in bed than be...
I'd rather not be sick. What do you mean?
At shul, right? Or putting on tefillin. Let's just say putting on tefillin. Like, forget about shul. I don't care about shul. right?
What does it mean?
I'm in bed. I'd rather be in bed when I'm
drinking a water than a coffee.
One second. I think the avoda that he's saying is that at that moment when you're not able to accomplish, or you made a mistake and you've fallen and you've chosen the wrong thing, re-establish for yourself what it is that you really want, so that that mistake or that moment or that thing doesn't derail your progress. You just gave an example. Someone's sick, they'd rather be in bed than be putting on tefillin.
No.
I give that example.
But it's not true. I'd rather not have been sick in the first place.
That's true, but you're sick.
But you are sick.
No, you're sick now. Great. So now push yourself, or you're not able to push yourself.
Other things. There are responsibilities in life that I'd rather be at night seder, I'd rather be at Shabbos at 8:30, but I have a 7-week-old baby.
Right.
And I have to watch her.
Right.
So I want to watch her more than I want to be at the hospital. Is that a truth?
No, that's not true.
That's what I'm saying.
I think that's called life.
But then the one should be.
But while I'm watching her, my real desire is
to want to be somewhere wherever that is.
I want to be where I need to be. Meaning.
Right.
I mean, that's by itself a mitzvah. Of course. I'm not taking away. He gave the example.
I'm not taking away.
I don't know where your Bible is.
More than I want to be at Shabbos.
Okay.
It's that you have other things that are responsible for.
It's too personal. You have to be able to. We have to be able to talk openly without. I don't want to. When presented, this is how I see it.